Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for everything you're doing. You are the truth. We open our hearts wide to you. Continue, Holy Spirit, to minister in and through this house. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue our brand new series on trials, and I'm quite sure that since we last met, you've had ample opportunity to count it all joy, right? Don't you love that one in James 1? Count it all joy when you go through trials and tribulation, because God's at work. You've had ample opportunity to choose the flesh or the spirit, to respond with worry or with faith. Let's go back to John 16:33 in the Amplified. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Where do we find peace and confidence? In him. In the world, you'll have tribulation, trial, distress, and frustration. That's the natural world. But be of good cheer. Take courage. I love that. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. Be unmoved about the trials, guys. For I have overcome the natural world for you. I have deprived it of power to harm you. I have conquered it on your behalf. You know, as a church family and as a body, We're gonna face trials. As a family, we're gonna face trials. As individuals, we're gonna face trials. But praise God, we've got the Lord, we've got His Word, we've got the Holy Spirit, we've got His kingdom, we've got His blood, we've got His truth, and we've got each other. So we can get through it. How many of you know we're not the enemy of each other? How many of you know your spouse is not your enemy? We have a common enemy. And so whether it's the loss of a loved one, whether it's a loss of a marriage, God forbid the loss of a child, maybe it's difficulty in relationship, maybe it's a trial through your health, maybe it's a trial through finances. The question is not, will they come? They will come. In the natural world, you're going to have tribulation, trial, distress, and frustration. So they're going to come, but it's how do we respond when they come? How do we respond? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, another one of our favorite ones. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life of Jesus gets manifested in our body. Trials are the opportunity to reveal how far we've grown, how far we've come in Christ, how much of His life can be made manifest. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. I wasn't expecting any amens on any of that. That the life of Jesus can be manifested in our mortal flesh. Wow. How about that? Our suffering is an opportunity for the life of Jesus to come forth. And I love you too much not to tell you the truth, okay? You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer in the natural world. You will have pain. It will happen. You'll face trials, adversity, and difficulty. No matter how much we try to pray them all away, we're going to face them. The kingdom of heaven suffers opposition, and you're not immune from that. So how we respond in those times is crucial. How we respond, listen to me, can have a long-lasting impact. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. It can have an impact. How we respond to adversity, offense, wrongdoing, and injustice can have a lasting impact on people around us. So we don't want to be ignorant of the enemy's devices. We left off here last week, Micah 7, verse 8. Do not rejoice over me, my enemy, because when I fall, I will rise again. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Oh, my goodness. Micah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, literally warns the devil. He warns him, don't party too long over me. Don't celebrate too long at my failing or my suffering, because I will rise again. Amen. As Arnold Schwarzenegger said, I'll be back. I will be back. Why? Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the natural world. I am born from above. I'm born by the Holy Spirit. I'm born by the hand of Father God Himself. Amen. Therefore, I can rise above what happens in the natural realm. How come I can keep coming back? Because all men fall, but great men get up. Because those with an unwillingness to lose never do. Because 2 Corinthians 2:14 says Christ always, everybody say always, He always leads us in triumph. Why can we get up again? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? Because I know that my Redeemer lives. What does that mean? Well, if He's a Redeemer, that means He can take something of little value and make great value out of it. Even my wrongs can become right in Him, because He can teach me. He can redeem what happened to me. He can redeem what I did wrong. He can bring good out of it. We can help somebody else. That's why we can get up again. We can get up again because we have a promise in Isaiah that He's going to give us beauty for these ashes. The oil of joy over mourning. The garment of praise. Amen, Michelle. The garment of praise is coming over the spirit of heaviness. Why do we know this? Because weeping may endure for a night, but joy's coming. Joy's coming. Amen. This is our new covenant right to get up again, to rise again. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm 126 verse 5 and 6 tells me I can get up again because when I went forth weeping, I was simply gathering seed for sowing. That in the midst of my dark time, God was putting seed in my hand to help somebody. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the new covenant contract that you and I have in Jesus Christ. Do not rejoice over me, mine enemy. Don't celebrate too long, because here I come again. I will get up. Every person in your Bible failed except for Jesus Christ. Every person in Scripture misstepped at one time or another except for Jesus Christ. Every person in this church has misstepped. Every person on this staff has misstepped. Every elder that oversees this house has misstepped at one time or another. Yet we rise and we rise and we rise again. People do not drown because they fell in water. People drown because they fall in water. They stay in the water and the water gets inside them. When we fall into trial and dark places, that's not the end. It doesn't undo us. But if we stay there and we let it get all in our heart and in our mind, maybe what somebody did to you 20 years ago, then you're likely to drown in that trial. But that is not God's plan for us. Micah, also under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, when we sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to us. Man, all of us have been in dark places where the truth is obscured. The word darkness just means truth is obscured. You can't see the light. You can't see the way. How many of you have been hurt so bad all you can feel is your feelings? You can't hear God. All you've got are all these emotions weighing down on you, crashing down in your mind and your thought life. All you can think about is revenge or those kind of things. We've all been in dark places. Darkness here does not mean sin. He doesn't say, go sit in sin. He says, be still in your trial. Be still in that place where you can't see anything. Why? Because our tendency is we're going to run out and go fix it or fix somebody. Come on. Yeah. Mess it up. Lord, I thought I was helping out, and He said, you're getting in the way, actually. You have a promise that God's going to light the way when you'll sit and wait in that trial, if you'll be still for just a moment. Because I saw some tilted heads last week when we were talking about be still, sit in darkness, not sin. It's calamity, it's trial, it's obscurity. You don't know what to do. Too often, instead of waiting on the Lord, we'll make choices. Everybody say choices. We'll make choices based on our flesh. We'll make choices based on fear. Are you ready for this one? We'll make choices based on control. We don't like what it did to us, so let me control this situation. I can control it because I don't want to feel this way. Control is not a fruit of the Holy Ghost. It's all right. I didn't expect a lot of help on that. We'll act on our pride. We'll act on ego. Any men in here ever acted out of your ego? Somebody pricked your pride as a man. You acted out of that instead of waiting on the Lord, waiting for His wisdom, waiting for the counsel of the Holy Spirit. We prayed at Discovery Group Monday night for a young lady that was struggling and in the midst of a trial, an uncertain situation. She didn't know what to do. We prayed for her for peace and for rest. And listen, that every speculative thought and imagination that is now racing in her mind would be cast down so she could hear Him and hear what the Lord has to say. So often amidst in trials and pain and suffering, we feel powerless, but it's not true. You're not powerless. You have power in the midst of your pain. You have strength in the midst of your struggle. His name is Jesus, through the help of the Holy Spirit that indwells you. So let me show you this. I'm going to give you some things over the next couple of weeks that contradict this idea that I feel so helpless. I'm so powerless in the midst of this situation and trial. Number one, you have the power of choice, church. The power of choice. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both you and your descendants may live. See, God's not going to choose for you. The devil can't choose for you. He can give you some suggestions. He's not going to choose for you. You know that uncle that did you wrong, he can't choose for you. You choose. And according to Deuteronomy 30, 19, our choice of whether we're going to choose life or death in the midst of trial and pain is a matter of life and death. This is a life and death choice. He says, choose life so you can live. Choose life so your children don't suffer at the hands of your choice. My goodness. Come on, Holy Ghost, this morning. How we respond to trial and tribulation and woundedness will affect many people around us. In 1991, when I was 21 years old, my mom went through an unwanted divorce. She didn't want this divorce, but she felt at the time she had no choice, no option. And then after that divorce, and all that went into it and caused it and all that, she had a choice to make. Bitter or better? Do you think, thank God, my mom chose forgiveness. Thank God my mom chose to release the debt and allow us to even have family gatherings together. Where those three boys, I told you I was the youngest of four boys. The oldest was killed in a car wreck when I was 11. But there were three boys left that we can all get together, my dad included, because my mom's choice to let Christ be her source for her attitude and the rest of her life and not the actions of other people. This is a huge choice. You think if she'd have taken up bitterness, resentment, and poison, you think it could have affected her descendants? Thank God for Jesus Christ. I don't know how people can even fathom getting through this life and all that it deals us without Christ. Without faith, without family, and without friends. I don't know. I don't know how. Many times we find ourselves in trials. Listen to this. This is huge. Not because of our own choice, but because of the choice of somebody else. We're in a trial. We're suffering. We're in pain and anguish, not by our own hand, but by the choice of someone else. You think about children that are molested and all that that can in the way of wreaking havoc on them the rest of their life. It can do to them. That's not their choice. But even after someone else's choice to mistreat them, they do have the power of choice. They do. And once a trial stares you in the eyes, you have that power to set your mind Set your mind. Everybody say that with me. Set your mind. Romans 8:6. The mind that is set on the flesh is death. You go setting your mind on the natural realm, it's death. Because in the natural realm, you're going to have heartache. You're going to have trials. But then he says in Romans 8:6, the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Amen. And we can do with some life and peace in the midst of darkness. Amen. God has given men the power of choice. So we can absolutely find ourselves in dark and difficult places because of somebody else. But no matter what they took from you, they cannot take the power of your choice going forward. Amen. It's still within your power to respond right when you get done wrong. Respond right when you get done wrong. Humans are like grapes. We get squeezed. What's inside is going to come out. If it's ugly, if it's flesh, the Lord loves you and He will ask if He can heal you. If He can show that to you, why does that bother you so much? Okay, if the fruit of the Holy Spirit comes out when you're squeezed, then there's dancing in the streets, right? Dancing in the streets. And then you got to worry about pride. When trials come knocking on your door, don't choose to be a victim. This country is trying to make victims out of every young person possible. It's a competition of who's the greatest victim. Who's entitled to restitution? Don't choose a victim mentality. This mindset that says, well, I'm justifiably a victim. Because victim talk says this, I'm not accountable for my actions or my attitude towards you or anybody else. I'm not accountable for that. You did it to me. It says, I'm forever entitled now to your sympathy and you're forever in debt to me. That's a victim mentality. I'm forever entitled to my anger and moral indignation for being wronged by you. The Lord asked me a question one time, a few weeks ago. He said, Steve, are you going to do what they're doing to you? Or are you going to do what the Word says? Are you going to give them back what they're giving you? Or are you going to do what the Word says? Who's Lord of your life? That's what he wanted to know. Who's Lord of your actions? Romans 17. Look at this, one of my favorites. Romans 12, verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Man, I thought we could repay certain ones. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Why did he say if it's possible? Because not everybody wants peace with you. So he's talking about on your end, as much as up to you, you can be at peace. They can be all spun up in anger and resentment if they want, but you be at peace. Verse 19, beloved, don't avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Amen. I know what you're thinking. Yes, Lord, crush them, smite them, get them for me. Am I preaching good? What if he's not talking about, I'm going to repay pain and anguish to them. What if he's saying, I'm going to repay you what you did not get from them? Because they should have given you love and they didn't, so I'll repay you and I'll be your love. They should have given you an apology. You know what? Don't hold your breath. I'll be the apology for you and I'll make it good. It's all about the vine. Source. Who's your source? Touch your neighbor and say, who's your source? Let's keep reading. Therefore, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you heap coals of fire on his head. I know what you're thinking. Burn him, Lord. Burn him. Joyce Meyer, just talking about this the other day, said, you know, in her word study, she started studying that out. Coals of fire represent, here I wrote it down, The fire of God's love that melts the human heart. Pretty good, Joyce. Good job. The fire of God's love will be heaped upon them. Verse 21. How do I know that's probably an accurate interpretation? Because of 21. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If we're going to go pour a bucket of coals on somebody's head, I would say that's returning evil for evil. Okay. Amen, somebody. How many of you know it's not easy? If it were easy, we'd all be doing it. And be careful of those shows on TV like Jerry Springer and what are some more recent ones? I'm dating myself. Dr. Phil. Because that crowd, man, they'll work you into a frenzy, you know. He deserves that. Well, just remember before you administer your judgment that you didn't get what you deserved. You might be sowing bad seed. And I'm not saying there's no legal process and all that. Thank God for that. Because until everybody gets born again, we need police. Once everybody's born again, we don't. It's not easy to do, but do you want to live? That's what he's asking you. Do you want to live? If you want to live, man, choose right. Choose your friends wisely in the midst of your pain. Choose your friends wisely. Do they feed your grudge or do they point you to wholeness? They point you to life. Choose life. God said, choose life. It's right in front of you. Why choose life? So that you can live again. Because resentment and all that's like drinking poison expecting the other person to die. How about this? Choose good godly counsel. We'll talk about this one in a couple of weeks. Did you know that in the midst of a trial, you still can choose godly counsel? You have that choice. Got the power of godly counsel. Choose to know that God will work it for good. Choose to know that God can use anything to conform you to the only image you've ever been created to bear, and that's the image of God's Son. That's why all that resentment and ugliness and all that, it can turn your stomach. Can I get a witness on that? You can get ulcers. You'll bleed in your stomach by giving way to negative emotions. Why? Because the only image you're created to bear is Jesus Christ. He suffered great injustice and never once painted himself as a victim. Never. He had a different source. You can choose to murmur and complain. You can choose to be bitter. You can choose to repay evil for evil, but you won't find life in any of them. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life to you. How about every principle Jesus taught, every attitude Jesus lived in front of you, life-giving and health-producing? It's funny, I checked the Beatitudes. I can't find anywhere in the Beatitudes where Jesus said, if somebody wrongs you, treat them really nasty and then blame them for how ugly you're being. Childish, isn't it? It's childish. It reveals we're yoked up to the flesh. We got the umbilical cord in the wrong dimension. That is not a fruit of the Spirit. To blame everybody else for my bad actions. Man, I tell you. He's good to us, isn't he? I thank God for these things. I thank God for the truth. Because it seems like man knows a lot about a lot. I mean, we got the internet and we got computers and we just don't know how to live. Live. Choose life that you can live. We got to know our choices have repercussions and influences down the line, can affect our children, affect our friends. Pray and ask the Lord. In the midst of that darkness, I want you to say, Lord, would you help me? Help me to do this right. Help me to do this right. I don't want to be mad at you. How many of you know the devil will let you be mad at God? I'm not going to be mad at you. I don't want to be mad or have ill will towards another person. Lord, would you help me keep my heart right? I'm going to choose life. I'm going to choose life in the midst of this. Let me read to you Ephesians chapter 4. It's another one I love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. This preaches all by itself. You've not learned Christ this way, this is Ephesians 4:20. If it be that you've heard him and you've been taught by him as the truth is in him, so that you put off concerning your old lifestyle, put off the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Set your mind. And that you put on your new man, that's your Christ identity, that's made after God's very likeness in righteousness and holiness. And wherefore, put away lying, and let every man speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of each other. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Jesus was angry. Mark 3:5, he looked at them with anger when they were blocking the healing of the poor, unfortunate man with the withered hand. And they're getting mad because he's trying to do it on the wrong day of the week. But even if your anger is, let me say this, anger is justifiable if it's not personal wounded ego, but it's injustice done to another. But even then, don't let the sun go down on it, or it'll corrode your soul into bitterness. That's what he's saying here. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on it. Don't give place to the devil. He wants to go build a camp. I know you're just pitching a little teepee there, but he's going to build a city in your anger if you let him. Let him that steals steal no longer, but rather let him work, laboring with his hands for that which is good, that he may have plenty to share with others. Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but only that which is good for edifying, that it may minister grace to the listener. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you've been sealed for the day of redemption. Okay, so how do we grieve him, or how do we not grieve him? Verse 31. Well, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice. Anybody know what malice is? Your desire to injure another person. Let it be put away from you. Isn't this good stuff? I mean, are we Christians or not? Are we Christians in name only? Or we want to be like Christ. We want to be spiritually led people who live and abide in the dimension of the Spirit where our vine is. And then he says, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgive each other, even as God in Christ forgave you. He's already forgiven you. I think that's some good words to live by. Amen. And it's easy. What a great thing. It's easy to amen me right now. But will you please remember the power of choice when you're in the midst of it? Remember, you do have the power of choice when you're in a trial and a place of darkness, and light is coming to you. If you'll let him, light will be shown to you. I don't deny that people, circumstances, emotions, and feelings influence us. They do, but we're not powerless. How many of you think Joseph got a raw deal? Yeah. He could have cried victim many times and just imploded and then exploded on his brothers. He had his brothers sell him into slavery, Potiphar's wife, prison. Genesis 45:4-5. Joseph says to his brothers, don't beat yourselves up. Because all this bad intention, God used it to save many lives. God used it. That's what he said. That was the end. God used it to save many lives. Are we at that place yet? Are we at the place yet where we understand that through our challenges and through our trials, there's a perspective that says, hey, God has used this. God has used this to save many lives. We need to get there. Father, grow us there. We need that perspective, which we'll get into next week, the power of perspective. Now, how many of you know that the enemy will help you choose wrong? And he'll lure you into victim status. We talked about that. He wants you to make poor decisions in the midst of your pain. He wants you to focus on what trials and people do to you, not for you. What trials and people do to you, not for you. So he's going to help you choose these three things. And where Jesus' attitudes are life-giving, these aren't. So we got victim status, already covered that. But how about the blame game? Enemy ever tell you to blame God? Ever whisper to you, you don't deserve this. I thought God was on your side. I thought God took orders from you. And he listened to you about what you need the best. Number two, manipulation and control. Thank God none of us do that. Number three, self-pity. Number one, the blame game. The best example I can use is 2 3-year-olds. When you ask Billy, why did you punch Johnny? And he says, because he did it to me first. Blame game. Been around since the Garden of Eden. Adam blamed God and Eve in the same sentence. The woman that you gave me. That's pretty profound. In other words, when Billy blames Johnny, or Johnny blames Billy, however that story went, here's what he's saying. In other words, Dad, listen, my bad actions are not my fault, they're his fault. So I'm going to blame him for my ugliness. And Dad says, and why is he the source of your behavior? Why is he the source of your attitude? Christ the vine wants to be the source of your good behavior. Christ the vine wants to source your good attitude. That doesn't mean he won't direct you to speak the truth in love. We learned this week in discovery groups that many times, depending on the listener and the condition of their heart, Jesus' words got a little harder the heart. But can I submit to you, there's not a one of you, I don't think, in your heart of hearts loves the Lord and wants to grow. I think this is a safe place we can be tender with each other. A soft answer turns away wrath. I don't sense a lot of hard hearts in here. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you. I'm preaching good right now. The mature, and you can write this down if you want, the mature purpose daily to be sourced and ruled by Christ, not by the actions of others. The mature purpose to be sourced by Christ, not by the actions of others. At some point, we have to make what Jesus did for us bigger than what somebody did to us. Can I say that again? At some point, we've got to make what Jesus has done for us and in us bigger than what somebody else did to us. And you can live by he did it to me first, as long as you're talking about Jesus. Go ahead and adopt that life motto, but make sure you're talking about Christ and not somebody in the natural realm. Boy, that's good. Yeah, we put on the sign out there. Number two, manipulation and control. The enemy wants you, if you're feeling pain and anguish, he wants you to jump in and start controlling it, maybe manipulating things so you can get some relief. This is born out of the lie that we have to self-source, that we're going to source ourselves for peace. Christ is not our source. So we use manipulation and control to get what we want rather than trust our Father, that he can bring about what the desired end is. Have you ever known someone who uses anger, silence, intimidation, bullying, or flattery to get their way? They're all in second service, right? Ain't none of us, is it? I'm so glad we never do that. Use anger, bullying, flattery. Intimidation. Or how about silence, ladies? Some ladies, baby. All right.
Sometimes silence is good.
Thank you for saying that. Sometimes silence is good so you don't say something really stupid. That's a good point. Manipulation and control and all these things, anger, silence, intimidation, these are inevitable when Christ is not the vine. These are inevitable when Christ is not the vine. We want to control out here so we can have peace in here. But peace lives here. And we bring peace to the situation. We bring the spirit to the natural. That's how we're designed. So if these are manifesting, we got to check our source, because Galatians 5:19 says the works of the flesh are obvious. How about that? We can know whether the devil's at work or the Spirit of Christ is at work in this trial. Galatians 5:19, the works of the flesh are obvious. Are you ready? He starts with sexual immorality, but then he says hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, self-promotion, dissension, and rivalry. So the OU OSU thing. Born of the Spirit? Isn't that interesting? So if these are manifesting, we have to check where our source and our vine is. Because Galatians 5:22, I believe, says the works of the Spirit are just as obvious. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, ready for this? Self, under control, and gentleness. Gavin, you guys can come. Come save us. Because number three, everybody say, I love Brother Steve. Number three, he made me say this one. I didn't want to. Self-pity. So the enemy is going to offer you victim status, blame game, manipulation control. He'll offer you self-pity. He's going to say, Robert, choose self-pity. Here's what self-pity is. Are you ready? Idolatry at its finest. Pride dressed in rags. It's all about me. How about this one? Why me, Lord? I don't deserve this. I deserve better than this. Anybody ever thrown a pity party and nobody came? It's a dark place. It's a dark place. You throw a pity party and ain't nobody there. But the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I. Self-pity kicks God off the throne of our heart and says, you know what? I'm going to have a seat here for a little bit. No more worshiping God. Time to worship me. Because I got to get mine. I got to get what's coming to me. From my heart to yours, no matter what you face, you have a promise of light in the darkness, and you have the power of choice. Even when you're suffering based on the choice of another, you still have a choice. In that present tense moment, you can choose life. Why? That you can live, and that your children can live. Will you stand with me? Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If we can pray for you this morning, you say, Brother Steve, I'm just in the midst of it. Hurt and pain and anguish. Uncertainty. I can't see the light. Would you just raise your hand so we can pray for you this morning? Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. Anyone else? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these that raise their hands. Lord, I thank you that you're the God of all comfort, and I thank you that you're light in the midst of dark times. We do pray for healing, Lord, for them emotionally and mentally. Lord, there's a young lady here that I pray, light her way. Light her way. I feel like the Lord is saying, you know the right choice to make. But even beyond that is the attitude that you make it with. Even if it's bad news for another person, you can still do it with a Christ-like attitude. And I just thank you, Lord, for great grace upon these that raise their hands. And I thank you, Father, for the work that you're building here in this house and in this family. The Lord, no matter what we face, we have you. We have your word. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have each other. Would you strengthen our bonds, Lord, with good godly counsel? Would you strengthen our friendships in Christ? And would you cause all things to work together for good and the glory of your kingdom? Healing where healing is needed. Peace where peace seems absent. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Come on, will you give him praise this morning? You're blessed. If you need prayer, I want you to stick around. We'll pray with you. Encouraging word. We'll meet you here in the altar. Let's go change our world.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.